It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, June 3rd. Driving back from Kaiser. Still hotter than a hinge for us. I don't know what it's like in New York. Driving back from the Kaiser Hospital. God, I got there about 2, but it's taken 2 hours to do business there. And I had to make 2 trips to the car. I just plain forgot stuff. She's not in good shape at all. And she still doesn't think she's had the CAT scan, but she has. So I have to talk to her nurse. And I got to talk to the social worker, 2 of them. Go outside the building and call on the telephone in order to get a hold of the main social worker that's either going to get her into Beverly Manor or she isn't. They're moving on getting her out of there as fast as they can. However, the word at this point is sort of dismal. The scan shows involvement of the cancer metastasizing to the spine. And so, I felt real bleak there for half an hour. I don't know what I'm going to do when I finally get to the reality of this situation. I know I've, since Friday, I wake up thinking she's there and it's early and I need to go down and fix breakfast for her and get the day going. And boy, we almost had a speaking acquaintance going there again. So they're just spiking her with morphine. And I did say, get a chance to say to her nurse that it sure seemed like it was too much to me. She was groggy and it was doing numbers on her head. You know, she was sleeping a whole lot. And she said, well, she had spoken to the doctor about that and they had pulled back a tad on that. And she didn't think that he planned on requesting treatment. And this is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a strange situation. He's an internal medicine doctor. She said he was real concerned that she was so weak. She said it was taking 2 of them to turn her. She was asleep when I got there. I walked out. I had to go back to my car. I had left the crystallite the nurse had asked me to get for her because she couldn't get it without a prescription. Strange. I can see why. It costs a bunch of money. Some lemonade with NutraSweet in it. Well, what the heck? What the heck? I'm just sort of feel strange. No, they don't give me any, well, at least the nurse said whatever the doctor may think, she doesn't know what he may think on time spans. apparently they think she's got longer than a month or so, because they're trying to get her into a convalescent home. Actually, they would be trying to get her into our home if I was had a strong back and could be there 24 hours a day. Well, what would that mean? That would really mean round-the-clock nurses. What the heck? Yeah, I've erased this side of the tape twice now. I suppose, depending on how bad it sounds, I can do it again. I got her to give me the checkbook and the bills. I got her to sign her pension check, her Social Security check. And her signature is beginning to look like it did the last time when she was going down with the brain tumor. Real, real scratchy. And she wanted me to forge it for her, save her the aggravation. Well, I can forge it for her when it's a normal Helen Sandoz signature, but I'm not able to forge a dying Sandoz signature. On top of that, I read to her that on her Social Security check, it was written in fine print that it was a federal crime and $10,000 and so forth for forging. And she says, oh, well, give me the pen. Well, it was reasonable. It was a reasonable request. She's been having me sign her checks when I buy stuff at the grocery. When it would have been just as easy for me to sign my own name on a joint checking account, but she wanted to keep all the checks in her name for the Medi-Cal record type stuff. And, we got into this Medi-Cal thing. It just looked like we have to have separate accounts to keep it separate. And I tried to keep it easier for bookkeeping. So anyway, here we are at 4 o'clock at night. Doesn't seem to matter what day, boy, anymore. Coming up here, it's like Friday afternoon. Well, it's coming up here, going home here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Of course, the closer you get to quitting time, the worse it gets. I'm not sure why that is. All the quitting times I've ever had were 5 o'clock. Well, I had my choice of last night of going to a gay women's alcoholic meeting or to the cancer support group that I went to for a while. And Sandy was never up for that. But she began to be willing here a month ago. Back before April the 26th. And she said, yeah, she would go with me. Even though she didn't think she needed it for herself, she needed them to teach me how to talk to her. And, that isn't how it works, but and I told my social worker, then she said, it doesn't matter what she thinks, get her there. Well, she was never willing before, and she's most assuredly not able now. Unless God has got some surprises in store. Doesn't look to me like she's gonna be. If they're not gonna give her any further treatment, it's gonna be really up to how she feels about it. Whatever cosmic intention has in its infinite mind. Or whatever infinite mind has in cosmic intention, however that works. Watch the little sea turtles, baby sea turtles, swimming out to sea, 20 to 40 mile swim to fulfill their destinies, and they're spunky little things. Help me connect back up to stuff. I know that it's innate with them, instinctual. Nevertheless, courage comes to mind. Of which I could use a batch. I was thinking on this so-called book. Marcia says, don't think in terms of the book. A book. Think in terms of topics you want to write on. Well, that's probably the safest thing. But still, now that I'm thinking seriously about this, remember Virginia Woolf, and God, I forget what was the name of that book. But my first year in college, it was my third year, 23 years old, I met a girl at UCLA. Lovely, lovely lady, lovely girl. And she was saying she just didn't understand this silly book, and Virginia Woolf's. God, it's a famous title. Anyhow, there was the main characters seemed to keep changing back and forth. This was before I had admitted and or accepted that I was gay, homosexual, lesbian, whatever applies. God, today's Wednesday, there was a noon meeting. Well, tough. I forgot about that, or I'd have got up here. That would have helped. This main character, you know, I mean, he would go through these eons of time or journeys, and it seemed like it changed its sex. It was a woman, and then it was a man, and it sounded fair to me. I was tired that night, I think, and I says, that doesn't sound too strange. I can understand that. And she looked at me strange and said, aha. Somebody gave me a book in college of Emily Dickinson's poems. I think that's when I was up in Berkeley. And said to the only one in this dorm who could understand it. And I don't know why that pops to mind. I never got around to reading that book, I don't think. I tried on a couple of occasions, and it was sort of difficult reading. The concepts were not, that didn't astound me. I don't know, I think it was Walt Whitman's book, Leaves of Grass. I was really turned on about that. Man, I thought I had it knocked. I was about 18 then. I was my senior year at college, in high school, and I was fairly important in the Sunday school class. And we were on a camp out, and I had found Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, and I had found the bisexual type poems. He may have been gay, but he wrote stuff about loving men and loving women and loving the human spirit. And oh, whoopee, I'm not strange after all. Look at here, this famous writer is just like me, or I'm just like him. And so I was going around reading this poetry to several of the members of our group until the Sunday school teacher put a stop to that. I was always reviewing strange books for them too, like Generation of Vipers by Philip Wiley. That got him pretty upset. He was a nice man. But he was trying to save me from getting squashed. I literally didn't know what I was doing. Hadn't. It's funny, you're taught to seek truth and honesty and everything, and but that's not what they mean. And truth and honesty was my God, and finally when I got it with both barrels through the head, I thought, oh shit, you know? This is what I've lusted after all my life? Bummer. But, truth. Truth, my God, there's so many levels. Truth with a small t, facts. Histories. Sense testimony. And, you know, we're taught that this life is an illusion. Well, I have a hard time with that. I don't know. I do know, what do I know? Our world changes with our perception of it, that's for sure. I guess, what am I doing here? I guess I'm talking again to try to keep from thinking about where my love is at. And it's sweltering. Standing in a cool shower will help anything. Thought I lost there about Virginia Woolf's book and this guy that kept changing forms and stuff. I was wondering to myself, if I could funnel into a This Life book from a past life framework. Nah, I don't think so. I don't know. Marcia's probably the more practical. For the state I'm in, I'd be lucky if I would write down if lucky, scratch that sentence. I would be a good idea to write down topics. Boy, I had a whole chapter. I had a whole table of contents once. I had the book plotted out once. Now, it's one thing on tape. Oh, hell. Yeah, here goes another side of a tape down the tube. I had sort of a vision there for a minute of, okay, talk about truth. All these things are frames of reference, like a reincarnation is a frame of reference. And it's helpful a lot of times when you can't explain something any other way or understand it or accept it any other way. Reincarnation theory makes more sense than anything else going. Well, okay. What do we call these things? Organizing principles? Something like that. Ways by which we understand our universe and our purpose. That was a big thing. What was my purpose? God, all kinds of people can live without knowing what their purpose is. I said, to be a husband or a wife or a millionaire. I don't know. Be the best whatever you are. I think that the reality of the situation with Sandy is just beginning to get to me. I don't want to see her suffer for months and months, but it's not up to me. I'm sure it's not something she wants either. Way back in the beginning, well, it's going to have to wait for later. Back in the beginning, she was, lots of clanging of, practically nobody here yet, but there's lots of silverware clanging here at Bob's Big Boy. Breakfast. Looks like I actually had a vision of the house being cleaned up. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be nice? Do it for myself. That would seem reasonable of a mature individual. This West Coast conference here back in into April. Talking about raising the concept of old, and old is good. Yeah, okay. Got centuries of sense testimony against that. It's sure not going to be eradicated overnight. Actually, old did used to be good in certain societies that revered the wisdom of their aging people who had lived long enough to know more than them. But I think Dale and Phil asked me how I thought of the conference. And, well, I mean, the conference was great. But as for me seeing myself as old, that'll take a while. Yeah. I think you, 62 going on 15, that's a little hard to... get with. Oh, gee. Well, I want to get these pieces of paper that I've written to you together. I don't know what my poor little rose moth is doing. I have a feeling he's going to die in his leaves. I don't know. I was talking to my boss last night, who was my boss from August of 1973 to July of 85. What's that? 12 years. Yeah, okay. And then with this later boss that I couldn't hack, I'd be nearly 14 years that I was with the city of Santa Ana. He'd been ill the last couple of weeks or so. And I called. Been back to work, although he wasn't quite well yet. Anyhow, he knows Sandy. He's drunk with both of us and talked sports with Sandy. What? Go ahead, honk. Got a whole street here, you twit. Anyhow, he likes her very much. Sports is, before he got to be a born-again Christian here a few years back, sports was his number one religion. I'm not sure where it stands now, whether it's still number one or whether it's moved to number two. But anyhow, bottom line of this conversation, his wife had told him that I had said that Sandy could have morphine anytime she wanted, and I said no. What I said was they told her she could have, the first day she was there, she could have Demerol, a shot of Demerol anytime she needed it. And she was pleased about that. She didn't have to worry about that. But then the next time I saw her, why, which was Saturday, I guess, they had her on morphine, and they were giving it to her every 4 hours. It was knocking her out. Anyway, he had a dear friend who was a cancer patient. And it's interesting, people's perceptions of what you can do about anything in this society. He said, well, Stella, if she's gotten to that stage, you know, I told him, he said, how long has she got? I said, nobody knows. She may have months. I think I probably said something like that. And then somebody else last night said, oh, she, you know, I knew somebody, I mean, who was at that stage. They lasted 18 months. And I thought, well, God, forfend. Unless there's truly some higher purpose to be served. I hope she doesn't have to. Not in the situation she's in. She can't get up. She can't walk. She is so weak. I'm just trying to sort through what that nurse told me yesterday. That it's taking two of them to turn her. And that what her doctor was mainly concerned about was how weak she was. And meanwhile, she doesn't need skilled nursing care, you understand, just two strong bodies that could follow instructions, I guess. oh, well, I'm just a layman. I don't know anything. I mean, truly, I am. I don't know anything. I got her to explain to me the difference between skilled nursing care and whatever else was going on. Here we go, through the left turn light. Choo! Yes. He's gonna kill me. Ha! Survived that one. He said, well, if she's gotten to that stage, Stella, you ought to let her go. Oh, boy. Well, it ain't like she's hanging by a thread, although who knows. But I don't think I answered him. I don't remember. I guess maybe that what got my head in a knot last night. I'm not sure. A lot of things did. The way she was and the news and of the fact it had spread to the spine. And that probably had a great deal to do with why the bone had fractured, compression fracture. And, well, I knew from when the nurse was talking to me, if he didn't plan any treatment, any more radiation or anything like that, it was just a matter of keeping her out of great pain. Well, all right already. That would mean to me that unless we had some kind of a Jesus-type miracle, you know, that she won't be coming home. Thought that last time on the brain cancer, but then brain tumor. But they could give that radiation. It was a tumor, and they're able to give her medicine that keeps it shrunk down. But now, I guess, it's all through her body. And where I'm stuck, well, God, I'm glad I had the 6 months with her. I wish we could have had a little bit longer of a little bit more quality time, because we were just beginning to be able to communicate again decently, occasionally from time to time here. And if this were Quinn and his wife, or his wife and Quinn, there isn't anything that you can do. Ay, boy, nearly got that one. The only thing you can do to keep yourself from being unnecessarily prolonged is to write a living will. Now, we did that. We wrote wills and we signed papers. And we don't want to be, you know, like she has a heart attack, don't put her on a respirator. God, I guess I got to go through that again. On her behalf. And she made that damn clear when she was at the convalescent home. But this final stage, you know, it takes what it takes. It will take what it will take. I was trying. I mean, Quinn's not a metaphysical man. He's very real, very physical, very here and now, earth-type man. But, and then sometimes he can surprise me. And Sandy said, at the hospital the first day, maybe in the emergency room when I was there with her for about 3 hours out of the six or seven. Sandy was saying about me eating and taking care of things and not getting sick so that she didn't have to worry about me. And it was crossing my mind that from what she said about her mother, the way her mother died, I think that's on this tape somewhere, Maybe not. Maybe it. I know it's on one of the seven tapes that I found from this period. Anyway, things that she has mentioned along the way, little clues that Quinn and others have said, let her go. I haven't run across too many people that say that know how to do it, or demonstrated to me that they've done it. But anyway, I do know that's a reality, and maybe it's coming to me as to what that reality means, namely, of if I were to really take care of myself here and not go down some new depression pipe hole and or dysfunctional pipe hole, that would be a letting go. And if she knew that, in the situation that she's in currently, that might make it easier for her to accept the very hard realities that are facing her. I mean, might be one of the things that would be helpful to her. I'm sure there's plenty of others. Dying is probably one of the scarier things we'll ever do. Dead. Well, neither Sandy nor I, if I am to believe Sandy, is afraid of dead. It's the process of dying that's totally aggravating, inconveniencing, and in her case, extremely painful. And it's going on all over the United States and the world, especially here. Well, my head's gone off on a wing-bang tangent here. Where are we now? It's 8:45-ish. Something like that. In the morning. Well, I had this woman at work when things were real work at church saying, you have, let her go. Yeah, well, what does that mean? What are you talking about? That way. We live together and there's, you know, I didn't, and within that context of the situation I was in, I didn't know what that meant. Let her go to me meant turn your back on her and walk out, sayonara. And that's simply not possible. And it's probably not what she meant. I don't know what she meant. I'll have to ask her. When I get through it, I'll have to ask her, what did you mean back there, you know, when the situation was extremely frantic there. Well, anyway, I guess I'm thinking, well, I'm definitely thinking out loud for myself here. Wish I could be in your presence and have a give and take. I know the one person on earth that I can talk to. It's not a whole lot better than calling New York. I mean, sometimes it's even cheaper to call back east, but you can't A phone call is going to cost you $5 to $10. You can't do much of it. Anyway, Marcia is about the only personal friend I've had here for some time that I've felt that I could be, or I've known that I could be anything. And who accepts me in all of my strange aspects and loves me. She's a very loving person and accepting person. How'd I get off on that? I had a point. Before this tape runs out, because it looks like it's running out. Back to a focus for some kind of a book. Back to my original thought back when I started writing to you. Was checking out the fantasies again and seeing how they relate again, only deeper, to the present unsolved problems or the whole lifetime challenges. Sandy made a profound statement a few days before she could no longer stand up. And it was, it's strange, you know, it just came off of practically nowhere. It wasn't something that I could relate to, except it did seem to be a true statement. I did something that irritated her, and but I didn't. She said, "This woman," I think she was speaking to the cat, "this woman has more trouble with fantasy than she does with, than most people have with reality." Well, that may be true. That one man's reality is another man's fantasy. Certainly on a creative level, I sure as hell do. I don't know, that's a toss-up. Boy, small our reality is in the eye of the beholder, and it's a many-splintered thing, to say the least. Well, I'm down here sitting outside Kinko's, so I need to go Xerox those little sheets. And I don't trust the mails, Morgan. About the time you have something that really means, and of course these sheets aren't deathless, but I mean they're sort of like, at my present state, they're like a journal. My head going 50 dozen ways at the same time, I have to keep sheets of what I've written to you. And to others, in order to know what I've said, in case you might respond, or in case there's anything in there that I can actually use for the future. And at least at the present time, I mean, that's not a big deal. You can see from this letter that Xeroxing is certainly not a big deal in expense. And most assuredly on personal correspondence to you, it's something that I should pay. If I were to get into Xeroxing, what, God, you sent me $10? Well, I couldn't see that going for Xeroxing. What did I say I did with it? It's in the letter. Oh, I bought writing stuff. A clipboard for Sandy. And a desk lap for me for writing in bed. So, that's your contribution, kid. To communication. How's that? Well, I think this tape is gone.